Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
Happy Zombie Jesus Day, John.
Right, he is risen.
He's something.
He's risen, looking for brains. Don't think he's going to find many of these days.
Well, are we talking about the canonical brown Jesus, or are we talking about the hypocritical white Jesus? Because there's a difference.
Yeah, I know there's a difference. I don't know. It's hard to argue about an imaginary character.
Yeah, I know. And a very happy early birthday to you, even though it'll be after.
Oh, wait, thank you.
But, you know, happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you. It's my last one.
You're done?
I'm done.
This is it? Yep.
No more.
No? Okay.
I'm going to start subtracting. Be like Benjamin Button.
There you go. It's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah. So what's new?
Oh, not too much. You know, it's Easter Sunday as we record this, and world's falling apart, but you know, whatever. As long as everybody gets their Easter eggs, I guess. What's new with you?
Oh, nothing. Working too much.
I'm sure you are. You're always working.
Bracing myself for the obnoxious summer that's to come.
Oh, but it's Florida.
Yes, and it's hot and disgusting. Where you can go from 50s in the morning to close to 90 by lunchtime.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm sure that should be starting soon, right?
Oh, yeah.
So have you gotten to watch anything while you've been working so much?
I have. I finished Daredevil.
Yeah, so did I.
Wow, so now that President Fisk is in charge of the police department and they're turning on the citizens and they're going to create a new world where rules don't matter. It's like, where'd they get that concept?
It's scary how you just replace a couple of words and it's what we're living in today. It really is.
Mm-hmm. It's terrifying.
Yeah. I listened to the speech at the end where Daredevil's talking about, you know, we can do this together. We can fight this. We can resist and we can win. And I was like, did they add this at the last minute?
Yeah,
like,
right.
I really want to know if they were like writing this as shit was going on in the world and being like, oh, I know how we end this one. Did you stick around for the mid-credit scene?
I did.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
It's always the guy from Jersey that falls for the old what's your name routine.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But they're not pulling back on the violence, so...
No, there was an audible gasp when Kingpin kills the police chief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I do kind of... I know while this is set in the cinematic universe, it is kind of odd that, like... there are no other superheroes running around.
Well, not yet. I mean, we know that it's adjacent to other superheroes.
Yeah, I mean, Daredevil was in... Well, I should say Matt Murdock was in the last Spider-Man film.
Right.
So we know Spider-Man's running around somewhere. We know in this season that Ms. Marvel's running around across the river. So it's just... you'd think that like they could call somebody and like, oh shit, there's a blackout. Let me go see what's going on. And you know, somebody else pops up, but I don't know. I'm sure it has to do with money.
Well, as usual. But I mean, I don't know. I wonder if, as a society, we are just so desensitized to violence that they just have to keep increasing it to be of the shock value that it should be.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the Netflix Daredevil and Punisher series really pushed the violence because they weren't on Disney.
Right.
And I think one of the things when they brought it back where they were like, we're not going to pull the punches. We're not going to, like, it's going to be just as violent. And they were just like, okay, that's fine. And, you know, you get Kingpin basically ripping a dude's head in half.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, okay. The fight scene in Matt's house with Punisher, where he's just killing people and Matt's trying to stop him. And he's just like, oh, you're going to take a bullet for this piece of shit now? And like,
right.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine somebody. Well, I guess I could. I don't know if I could bring myself to kill somebody. Well, I guess I could if my life was being threatened. But, you know, I understand Matt's version. I also understand where Frank's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Where they've come to kill you. Like, do something about it.
Right.
And, you know, they're showing that, like, the Punisher's not holding back. There's a couple of shots where he, when he goes to the pier and he's killing the corrupt cops, where it's, mm-hmm. it's like Walking Dead levels of blood, mm-hmm. where he's just like pulling a knife through somebody and like squirting blood out the other side. And you're like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing. Okay. But yeah, I mean, it's a really good season.
Yeah, and now we have to wait a year.
Yeah, but at least it's only a year.
Yeah.
Could be worse. You know, they could have taken the Mandalorian approach and waited like 3 years between things. But yeah. What else have you been watching?
The new Doctor Who.
I did not see this latest episode.
Oh, it's really clever.
Is it?
It's really clever.
This is the one with the animated character?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you'll like it. They do some interesting things, like they get trapped in the film strip and how do they get out of it, and
okay.
It feels, I don't know, Doctor Who feels very old-fashioned to me.
In what way?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm this episode is obviously a period piece. It's 1960s Miami. Right. But just overall, it doesn't feel like it's of the current times. It feels like it's from the past.
You feel like it's an homage to, like, the Doctor Who of yesteryear? Or they're just
not even to the Doctor Who, but to those type of science fiction programs from the past.
Okay.
You know, it's very campy.
Yeah.
I mean, not that that's a bad thing, but
no. And Doctor Who took itself very seriously for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's nice to have a little levity again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some Peter Capaldi episodes where you're just, like, exhausted by the end because of how heavy it is.
Right.
But, yeah. But that's cool. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah. Have you watched the new season of... Lucasfilm?
I haven't yet.
Oh.
Of Light and Magic?
Uh-huh.
No, I haven't. I haven't had the opportunity yet.
Oh, all right. Well, it's very, there's a lot of stuff in there that I didn't really know about.
Okay.
In terms of when, like, Lucas moved everyone to the Presidio, like the model shop still stayed in a different building, and
right.
So it's like, oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, until they closed the model shop.
Until they closed the model shop, yes. But they kind of go into that, and, you know, the competition that they started to experience, because, you know, that's success breeds imitation. And
right. Well, and it was good because there were definitely people that had grown tired at ILM that had the experience and was able to open other effects shops that did some really cool shit.
Right.
That, you know, ILM would never have been able to get to while ILM was, mm-hmm. was on the forefront of doing their own stuff. So, I mean, definitely without them, we don't have, was it Digital Domain that did Ghostbusters? Yep. Maybe?
Ghostbusters, Titanic.
Yeah, so and that was headed up by an old ILM person, so, you know, there's definitely, and then they moved Ghostbusters 2 to ILM, which was weird, but okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, all those guys, Robert Edlund, I think is his mm-hmm. name, who
yep.
headed up Ghostbusters and, like, you know, took that knowledge of what they learned in Star Wars and just applied it to other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What can I say? I'm a special effects nerd.
What else have you watched?
So I was recommended something. I'm not sure whether or not you've seen it. There's a show, it's now on, I think it's run its course on TV, and now it's on Netflix, and I think it's on Peacock, but there's a show called AP Bio. Have you ever watched that?
Yes.
I was recommended that, and I had never seen it before. And I really, really enjoy it. I think it's very funny. I think the writing and the cast and so anybody who hasn't seen it, it's basically a half hour sitcom of a guy who is a Stanford professor who loses his job and winds up in Ohio teaching at a high school where and he's living in, like, the house of his dead mother.
Mm-hmm.
And he's teaching AP Bio, even though he's like a philosophy teacher. And he basically walks in the first episode and is like, all right, I'm not teaching you biology. We're going to get revenge on my nemesis. And that's basically what, like, the whole first season is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really well done. The actors that play the kids in the class are all, like super funny and fun to watch. And
mm-hmm.
Patton Oswalt is the principal of the school, and he's the one that's brought this guy in. And the guy that the main star is from Always Sunny, Glenn Howerton.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really well done. And if you like funny stuff set in a, you know, in a school, then it's
right.
probably worth checking out. It's got Paula Pell in it, who is a comedy writer, and she's been in a bunch of stuff. She wrote a bunch of, like, SNL, and she plays Patton Oswalt's like administrative assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really good too.
And she started at Disney. I used to work with her.
Mm-hmm. Who? Paula Pell?
Paula Pell. Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. I did not realize that.
She's come a long way since that day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not realize I was rubbing shoulders with somebody so close to what I was watching.
Yes. I'm 2 degrees from Tina Fey. Well, I guess 2 degrees from anybody from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. And technically then all the hosts. So you're like 2 degrees from everybody.
I am.
Look at you. That's pretty
cool. Did you watch anything else?
I watched The Righteous Gemstones. Did you watch the latest one?
I did not see the latest one.
Okay. It's one of those episodes, like they've done in the past, where it's the main cast as kids. And you're seeing things that have happened to them in the past that'll probably play into like the next episode.
Okay.
So it's one of those, but it's the kid that they have to play Danny McBride's character does an impersonation of him that is spot on. And it's like Danny McBride has been de-aged. Like, it's really weird. But yeah, it's Michael Rooker is in this episode. Like, it's,
oh, okay,
it's very interesting.
All right, I'll have to catch up.
Yeah,
catch up. Did you watch the first episode of, or first two episodes of The Last of Us season two?
No, I haven't yet, because I was told to wait.
Okay.
Until,
yeah, know. I haven't either.
Okay.
I haven't either. And Poker Face starts on May 2nd.
I saw the trailer. There are so many guest stars that I had to go frame by frame to figure out who they all were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody wants to be in this. I mean, good for them. I mean, that they're able to
get
that level. Hopefully it's as good as the first season.
I hope so.
They haven't shit the bed with it. Because that would be bad.
That would be horrible.
Yeah. Did you follow any of the announcements from Star Wars Celebration?
Not really. Okay. I saw the one about the guy from The Bear who's going to play Jabba the Hutt's son.
Well, yeah, that's
or nephew.
That's in Mandalorian and Grogu. So they did a panel for that, where I don't know what's going on with Pedro Pascal. Some of the outfits that he shows up into things makes me wonder if he's doing hard drugs, because he was in shorts with knee-high boots.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really weird. But there was a trailer that they showed that I'm assuming will be dropped at some point. It was leaked online, so I was able to see it. But it starts out inside an AT-AT or an AT-AT, if you're from the 80s. Where it goes from the cockpit head of the AT-AT down into the AT-AT, and you see all the snowtroopers getting prepared, and they're putting their helmets on, and Din breaks in and wipes them all out, and then there's some shots of Sigourney Weaver, who's in this movie.
Oh yeah.
And she is a resistance pilot, because she's in a pilot outfit.
Okay.
An X-Wing outfit. Zeb is in it from Clone Wars. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Grogu's now more mobile, so he's running around alongside Din without the egg thing that he sits in.
Uh-huh.
And there's a scene where Grogu, Din, and Sigourney Weaver are sitting at a table, and there's a like a bowl full of candy or treats or whatever, and Grogu puts his hand up and starts sliding towards him, and like Sigourney Weaver's not even looking at it, and she just like grabs it and brings it back, and so it looks like there's like some comedy in the movie. And it looks really good. I mean, it's just going to be a long episode of the TV show,
right?
But it still looks good. And apparently it's building up towards the whole Ahsoka season 2, which has been announced, with like starting to film like this week, I think.
Okay.
And they announced that like Hayden Christensen's coming back for season 2. They officially talked about Rory McCann replacing
yes,
Rey. And I guess so. Apparently, what I didn't know is that Rey and Rory were like really good friends.
Oh, really?
And when they asked Rory McCann to be in it, he went to Rey's wife and was like, "Can I take this?" It would be my honor to like honor Rey Stevenson by taking over the role, but I'll only do it if you're okay with it.
Right.
And she said yes. So. It was revealed there's going to be a movie called Star Wars Starfighter that is Sean Levy, who directed Deadpool and Wolverine, and it's starring Ryan Gosling, which is interesting. But that's not coming until May of 2027. So long while for that.
Right.
I don't know if you saw any of the footage, but like they brought out like a mechanical Grogu.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like playing with it in front of like Pedro. They also announced that we're getting an animated Darth Maul series.
Right.
Starring Sam Witwer, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a Visions Volume 3 that's coming out, and also the Ninth Jedi animated series, which I think has to do with like Siths. And then they announced that the next one will be in LA. Well, the 2027 edition will be in LA. Are they not doing one next year?
Or are they going back to Europe?
I don't know. Celebration 2020.
God knows they'll never come back to Orlando. That was nice while it lasted. Oh, well.
Yeah.
All this stuff's just too damn expensive.
Oh, apparently Celebration will not be held in 2026.
Oh, okay.
The next one will be LA.
So now they're every 2 years?
I guess.
All right.
Which I guess is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I understand why they don't release some of the stuff to the internet, but they know everybody's clamoring for it. If you have something polished enough to show at Celebration,
right,
then just release it. Everybody understands.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently in the Mandalorian trailer, they have obtained a new Razor Crest.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how they're gonna introduce that, but you know, he's running around in a Razor Crest again. I mean, I kind of like the N1 Starfighter, but you know, I guess if he's back to being a bounty hunter, you can't really collect bounties in an N1 Starfighter.
Why not?
Where would you put them?
I don't know.
You have to ride in the little bubble? Sorry.
You just tow it behind him.
Out in space.
And does this mean that he's back from his training with Luke?
Well, he's been back from his training.
Oh.
He was back from his training in Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah, that one episode that had nothing to do with the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah. Yep.
Hmm.
Because they needed Grogu back with him before the start of that season of Mandalorian.
Right.
So they were just going to do it in somebody else's TV show. And they go ahead.
I was going to say, the one new series that I'm interested in most is Tales of the Underworld.
Yeah.
Because it's got, you know, the Inquisitors and throwbacks to Clone Wars and Asajj Ventress and...
Yeah, and Cad Bane's running around and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it opens so many storytelling avenues for characters that they're never going to devote any real series to, but people like.
Right.
You know, it almost makes me feel like they should have taken the Book of Boba Fett story and done that treatment with it.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, not so much live action, but if they had done it in... done it in animation over a couple of episodes, it probably would have been received a lot better. And they probably would have cut out shit like the Vespa gang and, you know, that shit.
Why are you gonna pick on the Vespa gang?
Because they were stupid. Look, I really appreciate everything that Robert Rodriguez has done for filmmaking and the movies that he's made and the leaps in technology that he's helped usher in. But mm-hmm. The Vespa gang was stupid. And he helped create that. So I have to put it squarely on his shoulders. That they didn't look at that and be like, oh, we need to like dirty these kids up. Like, what the fuck, man? Because like, if you look at Skeleton Crew and what was her name? KB, the girl with the prosthetic?
Yeah.
With the visor thing? Mm-hmm. It can be done well. And it can be done in a way where it doesn't look like they're just stupid Vespa kids. But they didn't do that for Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
And I was just reading something here that during the panel for Andor season 2, it's 3 episodes a week for 4 weeks.
Right.
And each of the 3 episodes will be 1 year in continuity.
Oh, okay.
So there's a time jump at the end of every block of episodes until it bumps up to Rogue One. Which is cool.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Something, I don't think they did this last time for Celebration, but there's actually a bunch of their merchandise that you can get on Amazon.
I saw it was on Instagram, and there was a picture of Sam Witwer wearing an ILM t-shirt. Because we're coming up on 50 years of ILM.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on Amazon. And I was like, oh, I need to buy that.
Yeah.
What else do they have on Amazon that they're, is it like stuff that they were selling at the show, or is it just like based around Celebration stuff?
No, there's a TIE Fighter Echo Dot.
Okay.
And then there's a bunch of t-shirts and hoodies and stuff and some ILM 50. And there's a couple of action figures, which I'm kind of kicking myself over.
Why?
Well, because they have one that's the Ronin and R2 from Visions that I thought
Yeah.
was really cool, but it was like $70.
Oh.
And then a few hours later, it was sold out.
Oh.
But I'm sure they'll add stuff as they have back stock that's not moving fast.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, that's kind of nice. You know, like the ILM t-shirt's like $23. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's definitely affordable. Like
Yeah.
definitely. Yeah, I wish listed a bunch of the stuff. Like, I'm not really interested in like the ILM 50 like Tumblr or anything. But yeah, their 50th anniversary logo t-shirt. I really like the logo for one. And it looks really good, and yeah, I mean, the one ILM t-shirt that I do have came from Amazon. But it is nice to see that they were like, we're gonna sell these in more than just exclusive for them.
There's a bunch of pirated stuff on eBay already.
Okay, the Ronin pack is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Mean, I think Lucasfilm has finally figured out that, like, more people want this stuff than just attend. I mean, some of it's ridiculous. If you go to the Lucasfilm webpage, there's like, $360 for a watch.
Right.
That's not going to happen. Come on. But apparently, if you want a Sabine Wren pop, they're $3 right now. If you want a bathroom rug that's got the Millennium Falcon and a couple of X-Wings on it, it's 219.
I think I will pass on that one.
Okay.
But yeah.
They have a bunch of. This is weird. Okay, so they have a bunch of rugs. Like. Okay, I see it now. Where it's just like alien, like area rugs. And it's like it's a 9x12 Mandalore Scarlet Red, and then inside it there's like little symbols of like Mandalore and the Night Owls and stuff like that. And it's like $1,000 for this rug.
Yeah, you should get two.
Oh, sure. I don't know if I would put a themed rug in my house, though.
No, why not?
I don't know. I feel
Just
like
keep it
that's a
boring and
little
neutral.
bit. Sure. It's just one of those things. I'm like, I don't know if I would do that. Oh, that's even weirder. Oh, that's a 3x5 rug. Okay. The 3x5 rug of that is $209.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is
And that
it
one's got
like hand
Mandalorian.
woven?
It's got Mandalorian helmets in the middle. Yeah. And step on that every morning as you get out of bed. There's some expensive ass area rugs. Are area rugs
Yeah.
that expensive normally?
I don't know. That's a new thing all of a sudden, I think.
Oh.
And those are the version where you can throw them in the washer.
Yeah. So you know quality.
Right.
I mean, the TIE fighter thing is kind of cool, but not for $100. Oh, it includes the Echo Dot fifth generation and the limited edition Star Wars TIE fighter stand. I'm not big on like having shit that listens to me in the house.
No, you've
No.
got your phone in the house. Same thing.
I know, but like, I don't know. I don't want everybody to listen to me. I just want one point of, non-privacy instead of several. Did we have anybody die this week?
There was some stunt coordinator.
Oh, I think I saw that. Let's see. Lots of sports people are dying for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Wink Martindale died at 91.
Oh, Wink.
Yeah, poor Wink. He's a staple of 80s television. When you
Game
were
shows.
sick and stayed home, you watched Price is Right, and then another more game shows where like Wink Martindale was one of the hosts. Yeah, there wasn't really a whole lot of like mainstream celebrity deaths, which I guess is
You
good.
say that like it's a bad thing.
No, it's not. It's
Like,
not.
oh, enough people didn't die that we have to talk about.
And yet, Dick Van Dyke lives on.
That's right. Did he hit 100 yet?
I don't know. I think he's still 99. Dick Van Dyke. His birthday is December 13th. So
Oh.
he just turned 99.
Okay.
Will he make it to 100 is the question.
He has to stick it out. He has to.
I don't know how long ago it was, but I did see a clip of him recently where he was speaking in front of a group of people and he introduced himself as "I'm what's left of Dick Van Dyke." And I was like, good for him for having some fun with it. Trying to think of what else I watched this week, if I watched anything. I don't think so. I was going to start watching Handmaid's Tale, but I don't want to watch a documentary, so I think I'll hold off.
Yeah, scary.
Yeah.
But we can't talk about it because,
Maybe targeted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up, that whole situation.
And yet there are millions of people in the streets today.
Yep. instead of hunting for Easter eggs.
There you go. I wonder if they actually boiled the eggs for the White House Easter egg hunt, or if they're just raw.
Was there an actual Easter egg hunt this year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised they let common folk onto the grounds. It must have been very selective, like...
Oh, I'm sure.
Only the kids of the people that work there or something. So, yeah.
Was Goof Troop a thing when you were growing up? And then the Goofy movie?
Oh, what year was the Goofy movie?
Ninety-five.
I would have been out of high school.
Oh.
Not
hip enough for you?
No, I mean, in 1995, I was probably watching the Animaniacs.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't. Animaniacs. Really? So that was in 93. So I was definitely like, that's where my humor was at that point.
Okay.
But not Goof Troop. I can't say I did. What's up with Goof Troop? Okay.
Well, there's a documentary on a Goofy movie.
Oh.
On Disney Plus.
Okay.
Called Not Just a Goof.
Oh.
Some interesting things in there that I didn't really know, because it wasn't, I mean, I was so much further out of high school by then. So, yeah. But, it's one of those movies that's got this weird life after the fact.
The Goofy movie?
You know, that people are obsessed with it and they like cosplay the characters. And, I guess Disney wanted Steve Martin to play Goofy.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was kind of weird.
Why would they change the voice to Steve Martin? That's weird.
I guess because it would have been more modern.
Yeah, but that's not why you're going to the Goofy movie for.
Right.
Well, I'm glad
but
that they stuck with
the career Steve Martin could have had.
Yeah, I know, right? Where is that poor man today?
I know. You rarely hear from him.
So it's a documentary about the making of it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I know it's always like news when Disney puts out Max for like meet
right.
and greets and stuff.
Well, even more so when it's Powerline Max.
Oh. I thought there was just one. What do I know?
No, there's the Goof Troop version of Max, and then there's the Powerline version of Max.
Oh, okay. Did the which came first? Was it Goof Troop or a Goofy movie?
Yeah, Goof. I think Goof Troop was first.
Okay. And then they were like, we could parlay this into an hour and a 20-minute movie. And they went, sure. Was Goof Troop like, or was a Goofy movie released into theaters?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And in the documentary, there's a scene where in the animated film, Max and Goofy are kind of on a road trip, and they recreate it in the documentary with the two voice actors, Jason Marsden and Bill Farmer.
Okay.
That's kind of amusing.
Nice.
I mean, I didn't find anything like earth-shattering coming out of it, but it was enjoyable.
Do they interview Jenna Von Oy? Is my question.
I don't remember her in it.
Oh, damn it.
Was she Roxanne?
She was Stacy. Whoever Stacy is.
Oh, okay.
Kelly Martin,
Was Roxanne?
was Roxanne.
Yep.
Julie Brown was in it.
And Polly Shore. And Rob Paulsen from Animaniacs.
Yep. Yep, Rob and Jim Cummings and like all those guys were just like staples at Disney. I remember seeing an interview with Jess Harnell, who was Wacko in Animaniacs, where he was talking about he's so busy that like he just there's a driver that like the studios send out to take him from place to place, and he doesn't even know what voice he's doing until he gets in front of the microphone.
Oh my
And
God.
he just spends his days like that, like 5 days a week, and like he just does all kinds of shit for all kinds of people.
Wow.
He was the voice
That's kind of cool.
of America's Funniest Home Videos for the longest time, too.
Oh, really?
Yep, that's Jess Harnell.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yep. See, you learn something new. And if you follow his Instagram, you can see his very plastic wife.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I guess Jess Harnell had this thing if he always wanted to be a rock star. And so he found a woman that is like, looks like a groupie. Blonde, big fake boobs.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
She looks like she's photoshopped.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. And the even weirder part is at some point he gave her like control over his Instagram. So
Yeah.
there are Instagram posts where he's talking about how much he loves his wife. That's
And that's
basically
her.
her like, yeah, like kissing her own ass, I guess. Like it's really weird.
Wow, she's well, yeah, wow, okay. That's all I can say. He looks kind of like a Dave Grohl wannabe.
Yeah, I mean, he does. He's in a band
And he
called
wears a lot of those
like bell bottom
like
weird.
bell bottoms and like those straw cowboy hats in
Yes.
different patterns to match his outfits.
Yes. So he's in a band called Rock Sugar, which had a kind of a hit. It was a the premise of the band was it was a rock band from the 80s that got into a plane crash and washed up on a deserted island. And so they made a bunch of
Okay.
songs that were their favorite songs mashed together. So there's a version of Enter Sandman from Metallica mixed with Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. And
Oh my
it's
God.
an interesting mix. Like it truly is like a it's fun to listen to. And
Don't stop the
Don't
Sandman.
Stop the Sandman.
Or
And
shook me like a prayer.
yeah, I mean he there's an
Okay, I
entire
gotta start
album.
listening to these.
And he's a
We
really
will,
decent singer too.
yeah. We will kickstart your rhapsody.
Yeah. I mean they're not all aces, but like some of them definitely are. But I mean, they're one of those couples that like wears matching outfits, and you know, it's a little strange.
Well, hey.
But I mean, I guess if you've got that money, you know, run with it.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't understand the bell-bottom pants in every outfit. That's a little much. I mean, and the couple times that I met him, he's a really cool dude. I mean, he seems like he's enjoying his life, so, you know, good for him.
Yeah.
And if that's the woman he wants to be married to, sure. But yeah.
Does it say who else is in the band? Their website has a Our Story page. But it doesn't list the people in the band.
So according to Wikipedia, it's him, Chuck Duran, Michael Christopher, and Kevin Kapler.
Okay, nobody ever heard of.
No, the lead guitarist, Chuck Duran, is the owner of a Los Angeles voiceover demo production house. Apparently, Chuck and Jess were also featured multiple times on the soundtrack for the hit movie My Cousin Vinny.
Really?
Yeah. Michael Christopher's original music can be heard on TV shows like Say Yes to the Dress, Randy to the Rescue, Tiny House Nation, and more. Kevin Kapler plays drums in multiple projects in L.A. as a former member of the band Crazy Town. So it's like a bunch of studio musicians and Jess Harnell.
Okay.
Basically.
This sounds interesting. I'm going to have to listen to it.
Yeah. Oh, apparently there's a second album. Walk in Black for Centuries, which is a combination of Walk This Way by Aerosmith, Back in Black by AC/DC, Centuries by Fall Out Boy, and Paradise City by Guns N' Roses, and Africa by Toto. Crawling Numb to Somebody Bohemian, Bohemian Rhapsody and Somebody to Love, and We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You, and Who Wants to Live Forever, and The Show Must Go On by Queen, plus Numb and Crawling and In the End and One More Light by Linkin Park. They might have gone a little bit overboard with this second album. Shout at the Devil Dog All Night, Shout by Tears for Fears, Shout at the Devil by Motley Crue, Black Dog by Led Zeppelin, and Up All Night by Slaughter. Holy shit.
Oh, he also has a Beatles album.
Oh, does he? That doesn't surprise me.
Where he does a few songs with Rob Paulsen and Jim Cummings.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm going to have to listen to this. What if he's on Spotify?
Oh, I bet he is. I would be very surprised if he's not.
Well,
is Rock Sugar on there?
Reimaginator is on there.
Okay.
Not to be confused with Royal Sugar or the Sugar Rock Band or Sugar Sugar by the Archies. Interesting. All right, that's gonna be my new listen.
Okay. You let me know what you think.
Okay.
I'm glad that I could broaden your horizons today.
Thank you.
No problem. I do what I can. Why does Tom Cruise have a version of Pour Some Sugar on Me on Spotify?
Because he's in the movie Rock of Ages.
Oh, that's right. It's another one I never saw.
You didn't miss much other than a train wreck.
Oh, well, okay. Good times. Everybody should go out and listen to Rock Sugar. And, like, watch a little tiny blip go up for their popularity.
Right.
You'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah, except Jess Harnell's solo album is not on Spotify.
Dope. Is it on YouTube, though?
Well, stand by.
There's something called The Sound of Your Voice. That's Jess Harnell?
Yes.
If We Were Friends. What's the name of that album?
I think it's just Harnell on Abbey Road.
May have to go the back way to find that one.
Yeah.
I mean, his voice in Animaniacs is basically Ringo Starr.
That's right.
So yeah, I'm not surprised.
Well, I guess the numbers fairly, the Abbey Road album's fairly new.
Oh, okay. All right, everybody should go listen to Rock Sugar then.
We should.
All right, you got anything else for this week?
No.
No?
I think I'm tapped out.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Mind putting the hatchet down?